Well, nearly 1 year ago, local author Janine Pfeiffer-Knopp of Atlantic and her sister Jackie Pfeiffer-McGregor from Washington State authored a book entitled While the Windmill Watched, and the book is in its second printing and recently received national recognition through the Independent Press Award. Janine Knopp talks about this award and what has taken place in the last year.
It's an award that is based on opportunities for independent publishers, and that is who we are. When my sister Jackie and I decided to co-author our book, While the Windmill Watched, A Slice of Rural America in the 1950s, we searched for potential publishers, and then we said to ourselves, there are so many people who have published books independently, and whose books have gone on to achieve greatness. And originally, with independent publishing, the content of a book, the quality of a book, used to not be considered as worthy of an award, or perhaps even worthy of reading by the public, or by librarians, or publishers, or journalists, or reviewers, or literary critics. But since that time, more people who have chosen to record or to publish independently have sought out extra steps in order to make their book more viable in the industry. And that's what we did. We sought a publicist who was very adept at what she did and in had acclaim in her work. She was from St. Paul. She became like the third Pfeiffer sister that's what it is. You know, you get so involved in the story. Jackie and I had already written the manuscript, and then we sent it to her to get her opinion, how she would lay it out, what would she do with this to make it a book that was marketable and that people would want to read. And then we also employed a cover designer. This cover of our book is a photo of an actual North Dakota sunset. And it was I saw it on Facebook, and so I reached out to the person who put it on there. I didn't know this person at all, but I just sent them a message, and I said, we are writing this book about, and I told what our content was, and may we please use your picture on the cover. Well, they were just thrilled. This was a young husband and wife, and they just happened to be out on their four-wheeler one night snapping pictures of North Dakota sunsets. They live in northeast North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So we were able to use it then, and then Jackie has a friend. Jackie lives in northeast Washington in Colville, and she designs book covers and also is an award-winning nature photographer, and so she was really great to work with as far as designing the cover. Doing those extra steps really makes the book a lot more, have a hierarchy, you might say, in the eye of the reader and the eye of the publisher and in the book vendor too.
What was your reaction of getting notified that you had this award?
Well, this is an award for which we had applied. And in order to do that, a certain number of book copies had to be sent to this company, because, of course, the judges each need to see the book and read the book. And there are quite a few different categories that are open for awards. Our book, While the Windmill Watched, A Slice of Rural America in the 1950s, received the Distinguished Favorite Award in the area of nonfiction regional. Mm-hmm. And the regional means that the story in the book is about a certain region. And of course, ours is about growing up on the Great Plains of North Dakota in the 1950s.
Let's talk about what has transpired mm-hmm. since the book was published, mm-hmm. which is less than a year ago.
We are in our second printing of the book, which is wonderful. And at the time that the book was released, of course, being independent publishers, Jackie and I are responsible for doing all the marketing. So we hopped right to it, and we brainstormed as far as how we would market our book. And our publicist was really pushing us on this. She had an outline of the steps that we needed to take in order to market our book, and then it was up to us if we wanted to follow them or not, depending how aggressive we were. And Jackie and I are pretty aggressive about this marketing thing. I mean, we believe so much in the story of the book, which is our story, and the story of farm families and small farming communities in the 1950s, that it's we can't let it down. We just want people to read it and be absorbed by it and identify with it. Mm. So Consequently, we then got in touch with many radio stations, such as yourself, with publication, print publications, also television stations, especially in the North Dakota area. And of course, because we grew up just outside of Bismarck, there are all kinds of opportunities for communications, live communications with television, radio in Bismarck. And we had many opportunities to be on talk shows and guests on those shows to really expose our book to the public. Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful for Zoom because, of course, Jackie lives in Washington and I'm in Iowa, and all these stations are everywhere else. And so we still have the opportunity to market and be enthusiastic and share that enthusiasm with the public.
But you have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Correct? And tell us about that.
So many people, Tom, after having read the book, were excited about the book because they could see themselves in it. They had had some of those same experiences as what we had had. And so, therefore, they started telling Jackie and me about their lives in the 1950s. That 1950s decade, really, it should be held up as in my mind anyway, as one that should be relived. It should be dittoed all forever, because it was the time after World War II. People were wanting to be families again and get back to life and build this country. And so, consequently, that's what happened. And the families, the community, especially small farming communities, were so cohesive. And we especially noted that in North Dakota and in our Monocan community, where our neighbors worked together, played together. We went to weddings together. We went to funerals together. Yeah. All that happened in a small farming community that doesn't necessarily happen anymore. But again, because people could identify with the contents of our book, and started sharing their stories with us, I said to Jackie, we need to start a platform in which people can have an opportunity to talk about their memories of the 1950s. And of course, with the wonderful technology of YouTube and podcasting, and we then started what was called the 1950s Fun Chat. And we wanted this to be a weekly show in which a guest would come on and we would just chat with them in a video broadcast. It's like going on TV and being interviewed by some hosts for about 20-25 minutes at worth of time. And you know, Tom, so many people said to us, oh, I don't have anything to talk about. There was nothing unusual about my life, nothing special. Oh, but there really is. And interestingly, we always send to each of our guests, before we record, a list of guest tips, and that can include different suggestions of different topics of what they might consider talking about when they're on the program, and which helps open their minds to, oh, yes, I remember that. Something jars within their brain, and then they start talking about it. So Jackie and I, it's a very relaxed atmosphere, at least we think it's relaxed. And so many times when people were done recording, they'll say, oh, that wasn't so bad. I could do more of that. So we're happy about that fact. But anyway, each week we record with a guest and get for about 25 minutes of time about their memories of the 1950s. And two questions that I always ask the guest just before we sign off is, what was a fun, memorable memory of the 1950s? And the second one is, what from the 1950s influenced you in your life after that, in your adult life? Because the 1950s was a pretty influential time. You know, values were practiced and encouraged, and there were rules and regulations that were followed within the family and within the community that may not be happening now. And so it's a look back into time and a look back into a person's mind and into their memories of what happened during that decade, building the interstates. And we speak of that in the book because we had personal experience with that in North Dakota. The Interstate 94 ended up being surveyed to go right next to the southern border of our section of farm ground. Mm. And the interchange, the Monocacy interchange, which is just 10 miles east of Bismarck, was built, some of which was on our property. So that was the era when Jackie, I think, was probably about a senior, junior or senior in high school, and I was a young adolescent. And we had this old 1940-ish type Ford, black Ford pickup that Dad got. That was the first pickup that he ever had in the 50s. And we would take that to 4-H club meetings. And I remember, as we drove, they were putting up the interchange, and we drove on this dirt path around the interchange in order to get back on our road again. And we'd wave to the workers as they were constructing the highway. It was really a fun time. And then, of course, they wanted to sod the ground around that interchange. And we had pasture ground there. So they came to my dad and asked if they could purchase sod ground. Well, Dad ended up giving him a really good deal on it because he also requested that our yard be sodded. We had our yard around our house was pretty much weeds all the time, and we had chickens, free range chickens, and so they were all over. Yeah. And my sister always had the thought that we really needed to have a better presentation on our farm by having a yard, a manicured yard. So that was the way that Dad could see getting a manicured yard, right. And he didn't have to pay anything for it.
Perfect.
Yes. And we put a fence up to keep the chickens out.
Oh, there you go. Anything else to add?
Well, we're always looking for guests for the Fun Chat. It's just fun, and we get our guests either through friends or suggestions from others, or even there are on Facebook. We have Facebook pages for the 1950s Fun Chat and for our book, While the Windmill Watched. And viewers of that page, friends of those pages, will post something that I think is about their story, their lives. Or they'll go, there's a North Dakota history page, and I'm on that. And there's so many different 1950s pages. You can't believe it, Tom. And so I join all those just because I'm a 1950s nut, you might say. But that's how I learn about different people. And they could be strangers or friends. I'm going to send them a message and tell them about our book and what we do and ask if they'd be interested in being on our program.
And so how do folks search for this, though? I mean, is it Facebook, or how do you?
How do you search for the Fun Chat?
Yeah.
You would go to two ways. You'd either go to YouTube, just type Google YouTube and the 1950s Fun Chat. And, of course, we stream a weekly broadcast, 8 o'clock Central, Monday nights. But then it's archived on our channel forever. So don't feel that you have to be there right at 8 o'clock to see that program, because you just go to our channel and click on which one. But then the other way is through our website, through our book, WhileTheWindmillWatched.com. And that website is just loaded with information about the book, where to purchase the book. You can even order the book right from our website. Mm. It tells about Jackie and me. It tells about It has archived on there all the Fun Chats, so they are there. If you'd rather go to our website, feel more comfortable doing that, they're all right there. And there's so much more that is coming out of our book, and we're looking forward to announcing a new venture because of the book and with the book, probably more towards the middle of the summer or later in the year.
Awesome. Let us know.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you.